a glass of water and ask, how heavy is the water? And so he had a glass of water and he's holding it up and he says, how heavy is the water? And it says, the answers called out range from 20 grams to 500 grams. The lecturer replied, the absolute weight doesn't matter. It depends on how long you try to hold it. I mean, those stress is the same way. It's not about what's happening to you. It's about how you hold it. How many's ever been audited by the IRS? Let me see your hand. So you lived. Just two lived. Okay. Well, I got a deal in the mail a few weeks ago and it says you're being audited by the Internal Revenue Service. Now, I'm not crooked. I turned everything in. I just hope I'm not dumb. Do they penalize dumb? They do. That's what I was afraid of. Now, I went to, and I got me a tax lady, and she's looking over the things, and she'll tell me what his conclusion is. When I walked in, I said, what do you think? She says, if you get the receipts and such, you should be fine. I mean, knows it's not her getting skint. I mean, there knows that when it's somebody else's problem, it's you should be fine. You'll be fine. And you walk away saying, well, thank God that isn't me. So it's how long you hold the thing is going to, it determines if it's going to stress you or not. So this year, let's remember, when we're facing stuff, let's turn it loose. Let's don't build it up. And let's don't magnify it and make it bigger than it is. As the lecturer replied, the absolute weight doesn't matter. It depends on how long you try to hold it. He says, if I hold it for a minute, that's not a problem. If I hold it for an hour, I have an ache in my right arm. If I hold it for a day, you'll have to call the ambulance over the same problem, but just hanging on to it. Isn't that good? In each case, it's the same weight, but the longer I hold it, the heavier it becomes. He continued, and that's the way it is with stress management. If we carry our burdens all the time, sooner or later, as the burden becomes increasingly heavy, we won't be able to carry on. We all know people like that. And you call them, where you at? We miss you today at church. Oh, I'm just so stressed out. Well, isn't the house of God the place to come if you're stressed out? You got a better plan staying at home if you're stressed out than coming to church and serving God and giving your sacrificial body to the Lord? Now, you know, when you're older than Jerry's age and there's physical problems like that, it's just beyond you. Sometimes you can't, but most of us can. We're young enough that we still can. It says, as with a glass of water, you have to put it down for a while and before holding it again. And when you're refreshed, we can carry on with the burden. Jesus taught us that, didn't he? When he went into the garden to pray, he said, he went up to the mountain by himself. There was times that he was in the crowd just pouring himself out. There was times that he said, I've got to get alone. I've got to recharge. And he taught us that. You need to put it down. There were still lost people when he left. There were still sick people when he left. But he said, that's all I've got to do today. I can't spend myself anymore. And he went up and he prayed and got alone with God. Okay? So before you return home tonight, and he's saying from class, work, whatever, put the burden of work down. Don't carry it home. You can pick it up tomorrow. I read a story years ago, and I'll never forget this, about a guy that was coming home from work and said his neighbor was standing out in the yard, and he comes up and he just starts doing stuff. It looked like he's hanging stuff on a tree, and his neighbor said, are you okay? He said, oh yeah, I'm just putting my burdens up for the evening before I go in the house. I'm just hanging them out here. I'll pick them up in the morning on the way out. So some of you may need to use the tree for a symbol if you need to. But he says, yes, you can pick them up tomorrow. How many of you ever thought about your money problems or a problem at work right at bedtime, not just when you're laying down? Isn't that a terrible bed partner? I hate to do that. That's why I just usually like to read something positive, or you know, get something in my brain, or read something to me or Jana, and let us hear a positive note on the last thing. Whatever burdens you're carrying now, let them down for a moment, if you can. So, my friend, put down anything that may be a burden to you right now. Don't pick it up again until after you've rested a while. And it says, here's some great ways of dealing with the burdens of life. Number one, accept that some days you are the pigeon, and some days you are the statue. Some days you just get dumped on, don't you? You know, you wish you didn't, but you always do. Always keep your words soft and sweet, just in case you have to eat them. That's good advice, isn't it? always read stuff that will make you look good if you die in the middle of it. Well, we found her and she was reading Glamour magazine, you know, or the tabloids. True story, it's her father-in-law that sent this email. Great man of God, they called him the governor in Mill Creek, Oklahoma. He was the elder of the Pentecostal Holiness Church for years and years and years. Mighty man of God. There was about four or five elders down there. And I went down to preach as a young preacher, just starting the ministry. And one of my cousins was pastor. And he said, I'll have you come preach. And we'd done a lot of singing together. And he said, I'll have you come preach. And so I went down and I sat and listened to these guys in Sunday school and hung around them that morning while my brother-in-law preached, and I think I preached that night, and they said, how do you feel? And I said, I feel like a Daniel or a lion in a den of Daniels. That's how I feel. I said, wow, just powerful men of God. But they went to get him for dinner. They would feed him dinner. His wife had passed away, and he was in his recliner. He always read his Bible and took a nap, and then he'd come over for dinner. In his recliner, reclined out and had his Bible opened up where he had finished reading on his chest and went out to be with Jesus. That's the way to go, isn't it? One of our friends just passed away, and she went to be with Jesus in her sleep. And if you're like me, I told him, I said, if you don't mind, I'd like you to just come pick me up in a chariot like you did Elijah. I don't want to go to sleep. I just like to say, woo-hoo, here I go, you know. Yeah, that's just my personality. And it says, drive carefully. Kiss you. It's not only cars that can be recalled by their maker. Isn't that an interesting thought? You know, let me tell you something. I have a pastor friend, and when we were going to Jerry's funeral that passed away in her sleep the other day, she called and she said, she's our district leader, and I said, she said, how you doing? I said, oh, I'm doing well. She said, what you up to today? I said, well, I've been studying, and I'm getting ready to switch gears. I'm going to a funeral. She said, oh, I'm so sorry. I said, no, it's okay. It's a friend, and she went to be with Jesus in her sleep. And I understand that, you know, we have sympathy when we... But I was proud for my friend. Her husband's been in heaven for a long time, and she went off in her sleep, loving on Jesus. And so we, you know, he says, precious is the death of a saint in the eyes of the Lord. How many knows when we leave here, we're not getting demoted, we're getting promoted. It's going to be a promotion day. You come by my casket, you can say, you lucky booger, you know, or whatever you say in more proper English. but you know, that's going to be a promotion for me that day. It's not going to be a demotion, so if you miss me somewhat, you can show that, but drive carefully. You never know which maker's going to call you home. If you can't be kind, at least have the decency to be vague. You know people you need to go share that with today. Yeah, isn't that funny? That's funny, isn't it? If you lend someone $20 and never see that person again, it was probably worth it. Yeah. I mean, you know, really it is, isn't it? My dad used to say that. If you loan somebody money and they don't pay you back, it's worth that. Just know what kind of person they are. So look at the bright side. You can stress over the 20 that you'll probably never get back. Or you can say, I just forgive them and I release it in Jesus' name and God will bless you for it. It may be that your sole purpose in life is simply to be kind to others. Wow, that wouldn't be a bad ministry, wouldn't it? What's your purpose? Just to be kind to others. Because, I mean, there's a lot of people it's hard to be kind to. And they need people like you that has the gift of mercy and can be just kind to everyone. Never put both feet in your mouth at the same time because you won't have a leg to stand on. I like this one. Nobody cares if you can't dance well. Just get up and dance. Never stopped Dennis, did it? He dances around here and you play a happy tune and it makes me happy to watch him being happy. Some of you can't see him because he's back there getting ready to take offering and what have you, and he's just back there just looking like something else. Amen. That's good for you. Be vague. If you can't be kind, be vague. I'm learning already, see?
There you go.
Remember this, it's the second mouth that gets the cheese. All those overachievers, don't worry, you'll get your part. They'll go through all the traps and the stuff. And and I always thought, how is that cheese gone when the mouse is caught? Now I know. Second mouse. Come in and said, poor stupid George, I told you. And take some cheese. When everything is coming your way, you're in the wrong lane. Switch lanes. Check your filter system. Birthdays are good to you. The more you have, the longer you live. Some of us need that, don't we? We're like, oh, I'm getting a year older. Well, you're getting a year older. You may be only one person in the world, but you may also be the world to one person. And you probably are. There's probably a person in this world that you are the world to them. Now, let me say something along those lines. How many knows when we talk about our assignment, it's really, you know what's really powerful about your assignment is you don't put your identity in, like, I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a pastor. You know, all those things can be taken away. How many knows I could lose my family, I could lose the church building, the church as a pastoring role. But how many knows if I know this? See, my calling is this. My calling is to lead and to teach. That, those are two of my things. And whatever happens in life, I can still lead and teach. And so here's the thing. Don't put your, you know, you may be the world of some person. Some person may be the world of you, but don't put all your who you are into being that in that relationship or that mode. But think, what is my assignment? Because your assignment can carry right on. You know, when Jesus left, the assignment of the disciples were to go and carry on the preaching and teaching of the gospel, not that close relationship and following Him. And so it continued on. So make that distinction, because if you don't, when that's why some people, when they retire, their whole life was wrapped up in their job. That's who they thought they were. It's what they did. And they retire. In a few months, they die because they lost their identity. That's why you see some couples, when a spouse will go on, they put their whole life into, my grandfather, for instance, he used to raise a huge garden, and they were in their 80s when my grandmother passed away, and he was healthy and had a big garden, but within 1 month after my grandmother passed away, he went on to be with Jesus, a healthy man, because he put his whole life into being her husband, and put, you know, so make a distinction in between what you do and what a person, or what you are, and make a distinction there. I love this one. If you want to stress or say, some mistakes are just too much fun to only make once. That's me right there, you know. People say, well, behave yourself. I'll say, well, why do I have to? You know. Here's one. We could learn a lot from crayons. Some are sharp. Some are pretty. Some are dull. Some have weird names. And all are different colors, but they all have to live in the same box. That's good, isn't it? Here's something pretty cool. A truly happy person is one who can enjoy the scenery on a detour. How many of you like me, you need to work on the detour, enjoying the scenery, yeah. It's like, what is this? How long is this, you know, instead of... And finally it says, you may always have love to share. May you always have love to share, health to spare, and friends that care. So those are some stress reliefs that you need to practice, you and I need to practice this year. Everybody got your word? You ready to learn? This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can learn what it says I can learn. I can go where it says I can go. In Jesus' name. Mark the 7th chapter. We're going to go back there today and look at the internal filter system. Do just a little review while you're turning there. Remember, we talked about, he talks about, it's not what goes in the body, that what comes out defiles the man. And Jesus said, you know, your body takes care of things that it doesn't need physically, then expels them, and I won't go through all that again. That's pretty gross, wouldn't it? But when you have bacteria, for instance, in your body reacts to that and flushes that out one way or other. And that's a good thing, because it's fighting for your health. Same way when you have a correct spiritual filter system. And we talked about last week, remember, you are today and you think the way you think because all of your experiences that you've had and everything you've learned up to this point in the combined, what mom and dad taught you, what you learned from different churches that you've been to, your culture where you grew up. Isn't it amazing, even in Oklahoma, isn't it amazing the different culture kinds there are? I mean, and I know we have people from all over the world come in here because people, like from California, we're talking about Jim's mom and people that go from here to there and back here, and we pick up stuff as we leave this part of the country and come back in, and then travel so easy to go worldwide. We have military personnel that go all over the world, and I'm sure you look at stuff and pick up. I do when I visit different countries. I just like to look at them and watch them, and that's one of my favorite things, just sitting down and watching the culture and seeing how they act and react and the different ways, you know, and different things they do. It fascinates me. And so we're in a global economy and a global world where we can travel and pick up things that we normally they wouldn't have the opportunity to do back when. Then he also gave a filter system. Remember Adam and Eve's filter system we talked about was basically this? Real simple, wasn't it? You got the whole world out here, go and multiply and have children and rule over the world and just don't eat of that tree. The tree of knowledge of good and evil. And then they did. And isn't it amazing that Adam and Eve were the only two people on the planet, but once they ate and they knew the dark side and the sin side of humanity, all of a sudden they're the only people on the planet, but they're ashamed because they're naked. That doesn't make sense, does it? You know, if you're married, you've been married for many years, you know, if you get up and you get out of the shower and you just run around your house naked, you don't care. It's just you and your spouse, right? Well, it was just Adam and Eve on the planet. Why would they care if they were naked? Well, it wasn't the fact that they were naked. It was the fact that they now knew the dark side. That's why we don't want to talk about sex in church. Oh, don't bring up sex in church, you know. Well, I mean, those God created sex. And as far as I know, He said it was good. And I agree with Him. But the problem is, we know the dark side. We know adultery and fornication because the law came and the law said, thou shalt not lust after thy neighbor's wife or lust after this. And so we know the dark side of it, and that's why we don't want to bring it up in church. Same way with them. That's why they hid themselves and they tried to sew fig leaves together and cover themselves because they knew God was coming and they knew now I know the dark side of this beautiful thing that God has created. Their filter system all of a sudden like that changed because of disobedience. Listen to me. Today I want to key in on creating a great filter system that we can be right where God wants us to be. How many knows, if you're going to be in your assignment, you have to have right thinking and right actions or you can't be in that assignment where God's called you to be. And the only way we can have right thinking and have that is we need to have a clean filter system. How many of you ever went to Lowe's? You know, each of our homes, they have filter systems and different ones. Used to, I have to get the old house. I had to get up in the attic and had one right near the furnace thing that was up in the attic and I had to go up in there and climb over ducts and things. And finally I said to the heat and air guy, can we change this? He said, yeah, you can put them down your wall. You can put them wherever you want to. I said, well, let's put them there. So we put them in the wall. But how many of you have ever been to Lowe's? And you notice that there's all kinds of different prices of filters. Air filters for your. How many buys the cheap ones? Let me see your hands. How many buys the expensive ones? Good for you. Because here's the way with us cheap people. You ever seen the commercial? You can pay me now, or you can pay me later. How many knows you're going to pay? But there's something about people like me. It's just like, well, that probably gets all the stuff out there that I need. I'm not going to live forever anyway. You know, I mean, you try to justify a cheap air filter system. That's the way we are in our spiritual system. You know, what can I get by with? We don't want to know what's the extra mile. I mean, I love the phrase, there's no traffic jam on the extra mile. That's a good phrase, isn't it? The extra mile where people of God should live and very easily can live if we choose to. In other words, when you do a Christian wrong, they don't look at you and say, well, I'll get you back someday. I'll get even with you. You just wait. Yours is coming. No, they say, you know what, I love you and I hate that you're in that state and I hate this, what's going to happen to you and what you're going to reap, and then begin to pray over you and love you anyway. I mean, no, that's a different filter. How many had to adjust your filter system when you read that part in the Scripture? I sure did. You know, this, you know, and then he didn't give allowances for not loving somebody. That's a different kind of system than I grew up in. And I grew up in a loving home, but love your enemies? I had to adjust my filter system in that. And so if you buy an expensive, more expensive filter system, it's supposed to keep all the other stuff that doesn't belong in your house and your lungs and out of your rooms. And it does, I guess. You know, then you can go the extra mile and you can even have the houses where they're built in, you know, the air systems, and it's very expensive, but it keeps out all the allergens and mold and all the stuff. It really does a good job, so you're breathing better stuff. How many knows when you're taking in better stuff, you're living a healthier life? You're living a healthier life. You can do more. You can do more of what you're supposed to be doing, and it's the same way in our spiritual walk. Watch this. In chapter 7 of Mark, verse 1, the Pharisees and some of the scribes came together to him, having come from Jerusalem. Now when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands in a special way, holding the traditions of the elders. Now watch what happened. The disciples of Jesus Christ begin to eat. They probably have been out for a long stretch of time, because Jesus, when he went out to minister, he ministered for a long time. Sometimes he was like 3 days and people were beginning to fall out because he was just intent on ministering. He was focused, had clear focus on what his calling was and his assignment. I've come to heal the brokenhearted. I've come to bind up the bruised and to give sight to the blind and the ability to walk to the lame. And boy, when he focused in, he was focused. And so they've probably been out and they were hungry. You know, they were hungry. Wednesday, Friday night, my phone rang and I was here at the office. It was about 6 o'clock and Jan said, "Where are you? I'm hungry. I'm starving." That's the way they probably were. They'd worked all day and they were hungry. And so they didn't go through all the rituals to wash and to do all. How many knows washing is not a bad thing? How many tell your parent or your kids? Let me see your hands. You wash your hands? So you're not trying to be legalistic, are you? You're just trying to be safe, right? So washing is not a bad thing. But you notice they said they found fault. And they said they were with defiled hands. And then it went on to say, how did they come up with that conclusion? And here's how they came up with that conclusion. It was because it was a custom, a tradition of the elders, not because it was from God's Word. Let me ask you a question. And by the way, we're a lot more like the Pharisees than we would like to let on. Let me ask you a question. Here's the test. You ready for a test this morning? If you go and let's say you go into a restaurant or you go out to a park to eat and you come upon a group of rugged looking men and you see them there and they're unwashed, they're just dirt and grease on their fingernails, and they got dirty hands and they're sitting there just chowing down on chicken or something, it's the first thought that you have, I wonder what assignment they are on from God. Is that your first thought? Really? So maybe it's your second thought. We're more like the Pharisees than we'd like to admit, aren't we? Because see, here's what they didn't know about the disciples. They didn't know where they had been and what they'd been doing. How many knows these guys were fishermen and you know, all they were businessmen, and he pulls them out of their environment that they have known, and basically they gave up their life. Put their life on hold as they knew it to follow this guy around for 3 years. And all the Pharisees could say was, well, look at them. They're eating with undefiled hands. The reason they said that, they're saying that if you don't wash, it's defiled hands. Well, it was just unwashed hands, wasn't it? Their hands were probably more holy than the ones that had been dipped in the ritual water and washed and cleansed. But here's the thing. I mean, remembers what God said when He was looking for a king back in Samuel. He said, man looks on the outward, but where does God look? On the heart. Now, here's the key. If you want to have a good filter system, we need to quit looking on the outward appearance, because you can't tell on the outward appearance. And we're bad about this, aren't we, as Americans? We tag people real quick. Somebody can walk in a store, and we see somebody unkempt and dreadlocked or whatever, and we think, ooh. I was up at the hospital one night just a few weeks ago, and people come in with dreadlocks. Just look dirty. And I can't recall thinking, I bet they're disciples of Jesus Christ. You know what that tells me? I need to do some work on my filter system. Because my concern wasn't about their well-being as much as it was about my well-being. You know what I'm saying? Who's around me and what's going on around me? And that means that's not Christ-like, is it? Let me say, just be honest today. You don't have to raise your hand. Just this confession day. Just say, I probably need some work in my filter system in that area. To look at people, and here's what I'd like to give us a challenge with today, is to look at people that are wherever they are in life, and to say, I wonder what God has in store for them, and then just say a little blessing over them. Isn't that more Christ-like? Isn't that more Christ-like? It's a lot more Christ-like, isn't it? But they come to the realization, or they're, and it's real to them, these are defiled hands because of traditions and customs, not because it had anything to do with the Word of God. Be careful about traditions and customs. They're not the Word of God. Well, our church never did do that. Well, maybe your church wasn't supposed to do that. Well, my family never did that. Well, maybe your family couldn't do that. And maybe somebody else's family can do that. See, we judge according to what we think is righteousness and holiness, but it's according to traditions a lot of times instead of what the Word of God says. Don't wear jewelry. You can go to heaven if you wear jewelry. Ladies, don't cut your hair. It's a covering. You're going to hell if you cut your hair. How many ladies would be hellbound today if that was the case? Aren't you glad you're under grace and not traditions and customs? Remember the old story? I heard this years ago. You probably heard it, but the lady, and she was what young lady was getting married, and she was watching her mom cook, and she noticed that before she put the ham in the pan, she cut the end off the ham and put it in the pan to get it ready to cook. And she said, Mom, why do you do that? She said, I don't know, honey. Granny always cut the end off, and so I always cut the end off. And so they said, well, and what, Granny? She said, well, I'll give her a call. So Granny called her up and said, Granny, why don't you cut the end of the ham off? So she said, well, honey, I never had a pan big enough to put the ham in. Monkey see, monkey do. Cut the end of the ham off, you know. Why you do it? I don't know. That's the way Granny did. That's holy. You know, you got to cut the end off. And it's amazing how many traditions, you know, we probably have. There's probably, you know, if we took a poll in here and say, well, how many believes that it's okay for a Christian to dance? You'd probably, some of you say, well, no, it's not. And some of you say, well, Lord, yes, we dance all the time. Yeah, David danced before the Lord bowed his mind. He didn't have clothes on, did he? I would advise you to leave your clothes on. But it's okay to dance, isn't it? It's okay to dance. Me and Addie, we dance all the time. My granddaughter and her nanny, we're at the house and the music comes on, or we're at a restaurant and music comes on. You know, we'll be sitting there and we're looking at her and she's getting a little restless. We'll go, hey. You know. And she'll say. And then she'll say, nanny. Huh? You know, and so we're all just looking kind of crazy, you know, just sitting there wiggling in our chairs. Are we going to hell? No. But some people just don't believe that Christians should have fun dancing. Now, how many knows you can do anything and be vulgar about it? You can do anything in taste. And Paul said all things are pure in themselves, but he says, here's the thing, you know, when it comes to differing about this and that and eating certain meats or whatever, and there's people that won't eat pork, and that their religion tells them you can't eat pork, and you got to go to church on Saturday. And I've talked to people that believe that, Seventh-day Adventists, and they say, well, how can you eat that? And I say, well, I'll eat with thanksgiving, according to Romans. And he said, whatever you eat with thanksgiving, and I say, thank you, Jesus, for this pig I'm about to consume. Amen. And he said, well, I'll give you that one. But how can you not worship on the Sabbath? I said, I do worship on my Sabbath. I said, if I put you in a prison cell and they locked you up and you lost all sense of time, how would you know how to worship? What day? If they didn't tell you what day it was, when would you worship? He said, well, whenever I felt like it was time to worship. I said, that's why we worship when we worship. And he accepted that. Yeah, I'm not going to change when I worship because of that, but I don't want to be cruel either. I want to give a good answer to why we worship on the day we worship on and why we eat pork. You know, if you have a friend that's a vegetarian and thinks that's wrong to eat meat, well then you don't try to offend them with it, you know, because your heart is in the right place. This is about being a light wherever you are. How many knows you got clean stuff coming in because you got a good clean filter that's working properly? You don't want to hurt people. You don't want to find fault and be like a Pharisee. You want to help people and bless people. And they found fault, and then they said, not only did they find fault, they said, these guys are defiled. They're defiled by customs, they said, not the word of God. Be a lot of surprised people in heaven, I believe, to see you in heaven and me in heaven. Because they think their religion is the only one that's going. Huh? They think their religion, their denomination is the only one going. Let me brag on one of my sister out here. The other night she came up. She said, I need to know the three things that I'm going to do to have a banner year this year. That's why I'm at Bible study tonight. I said, well, cool. And so we talked a little while and she said, you know, you've helped me. And she said, well, you've taught me to submit to my husband regardless of how he is or who he is or what he's doing. And she said, and it's been real difficult, but I've been practicing that and we have such a great relationship now. You don't know what that did for me, because that's what I live for. I live for testimonies just like that, to say I taught something, somebody caught it, and it changed their life. That's what I live for. That's what just, I'll float on that for a long time. So thank you for sharing that with me. That is a better filter system. That's saying the old filter system didn't work. And here's what happens. People have the old filter system that don't work and they don't change. How many knows a dirty filter system is not only, it doesn't work properly, but it puts a strain on the mechanism it's trying to filter. That's why if you go in for an oil change and you don't change that filter, it's still going to put a strain on the engine because it won't let it flow the way it needs to flow. Here's what I want to give you. Keep your filter clean. That's a heart job, not a head job. You can't do it up here. You have to do it in here. You can't keep your filter clean by just thinking. It has to be your heart. Watch this in our text in Mark the 7th chapter, verse 6. Jesus answered and said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, you hypocrites, as it is written, the people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the traditions of men, the washing of pictures and cups, and many such things you do. And he said to them, all too well, you reject the commandment of God that you may keep tradition. And if you do that, tradition and what you believe and how you prefer, and you keep hold of that, it'll distort your filter system until you're not even thinking and acting and doing what God wants you to do. How many knows he never called us to pick at each other? He never called us to swear at each other and to say, well, you know, you're not perfect either, and to begin to find fault. That's a broken filter system. That's what they had. They had the Word. They could preach. They could quote you the Word all day long. They prayed. They fasted. They did good stuff. And which brings me to my second point. If you, number one is you need to have a clean, pure heart, or your filter system is going to get clogged up. It's going to be a strain on you. You know why many of us stress? Is because our filter is not operating properly. That's why we stress. I mean, we got a God that loves us. And He said, I own it all, and you're in it. Remember how safe, well, most of us, if you had good parents, you felt safe at home. You felt safe at home because you knew Dad was in, had the power, the dominion over that house. I can remember my dad when I was growing up as a kid, you know, rough and tumble cowboys come into our home and they would say a curse word. And my little dad would get in their face and say, listen, buddy, you don't talk like that in my house. There's wife. I got my wife here and my children, and you don't say those kind of things. He'd get up in their face. Oh, Mr. Eldred, I'm sorry. Well, you know what that did for me? That made me feel like I got a father that you come in here talking like that. He's going to get your face. Made me feel good. I mean, you got a heavenly Father that's the same way. He loves you. Why do you want to carry all that stress around when He looks at everything that's going on in your life and says, you're my child, and that will not be forever in your life, and He'll take care of it. All things work together for what? Good to those that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. His purpose. His purpose. You know, clean air filter, concentrate on His purpose. Where we clog our air filters up when we focus on my purpose. What I want. What I need. Isn't it amazing? I talked to my son the other day. He said, Dad. He said, we're talking about Christmas, and he said, you know, tell your papa, thank you for the money for Christmas. You know, I sent it over to him. And he got on the phone, he pushed the button and cut me off. I called back to Spain and I says, he said, oh, sorry, Dad. He said, Talon touched the wrong button and cut you off. And he said, here, Talon, don't touch the button. Just talk to papa. And then he put it up to his phone, ear to his phone. I guess he pushed another button, cut me off. Dad said, what'd you do? I said, I didn't call him back. But before he did that, here's what he said. Jake said, you know, we buy them toys and stuff and just said, it seems like they're so ungrateful. Any parents feel like that? You buy your kids, you go the extra mile, try to buy them Christmas, birthday stuff, and they're just so ungrateful. How many knows the little filter system that you fashioned inside of them is out of order? This is going to help some of you. It'll help us. Listen, if you put too much stuff, good stuff, just like they did, they were washing pots and pans, they were cleaning all the way up the elbows and their little ritual wash, and if you put all your time in stuff instead of relationship, it's going to taint your filter and you're not going to be able to receive and be and do what God called you to receive and do and be. How many knows in America? That's why it reminds me so much of the Pharisees, the American tradition today, because we have so much stuff going on that we have to filter every week. See, if Satan comes to us with temptations and bad stuff, it's not hard for some of us, you know, in areas. But here's what clogs our filter a lot of times. It's all the good stuff that we're trying to filter through our week. It causes our filter to clog because we're not supposed to be doing all this stuff. And so we are clogged because we've sacrificed God time with stuff time. With washing and doing and getting more stuff. Pam and Tim's children, their home burnt the other day and they didn't have insurance on it and they lost everything. You know what they come to a reality of? What really mattered. Now, I don't know how long it'll last, but when you lose everything, all of a sudden reality hits you of what is important. The same happens when you lose a loved one that's close to you. Boy, reality sets in for a while, doesn't it? About what's really important. I got to go see my loved ones more. I got to visit family more. It's a shame. You hear people at funerals say, it's a shame we only meet during service, you know, funeral services. And then we see them at the next one saying the same thing. That's why we want to help your filter system a little bit and say, you know what? I don't know what you're doing and we're all busy, but take time to have a little community with us in small groups here at Prayer of Faith, because it's going to help you. We've already started. We just started fellowshipping more, and last night we went out with the Murrays and ate over at Furs Cafeteria, the new one over there by our house. That was good, wasn't it? That was just good. Just felt good. It just, you know, we've been fellowshipping with some of you all during Christmas break and stuff, and eating with you and stuff, and we want to just do that in a greater measure, because that's something that's going to help our filter system. It's going to teach us what really matters, because how many knows we're a people that are in crowds all the time that are lonely. We're lonely. We're always in the crowd and we're lonely. It's because we don't have those intimate relationships that we're building on a weekly basis with people. Your greatest support in life is somebody else's love and support. Not a bigger check or more stuff or more activities. And so this year, what I think, if you want to have a good filter system, that you can define reality, because you'll really know where you are and say, what is important? What do I need to let go, and what do I need to do more of? As close as we can tell, these are four things that we need to keep consistent in our life. Acts 2:42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, in prayer. That's the early church. And some of you ladies, you need to get over your house not being clean and people coming. God help them in the name of Jesus. I understand you want to... How many knows? We know that you sleep in your bed and the covers get ruffled. We know that. You think we don't. We know there's dirty underwear in your hamper. We're on to you. And if we catch you at the wrong moment, we know there's dirty underwear wherever you can put them. We come by surprise. Crack the preachers here, put the clothes in the closet and wipe it off the thing and throw it in the trash. You know, it's terrible. That's pride, isn't it?
Amen.
Now for some of you very messy housekeepers, you need to hear that. You didn't even know they did that, did you? You're like, clear a path, the preacher's here, you know, kick it to the side. Come on in if you can find a place. Move that junk, that pizza from last week off the chair and sit down right there if you want to. You need to have some of that anointing. But there's a balance in there that says, you know, if we're going to keep everything right, we need to make sure those four things are in our lives in a consistent manner. I mean, it's good to pray together. You know, one of my highlights of Sunday is coming right back here and sitting in my office and praying with a few people over this service. I just know that's a needful part for everything to go right. And some of you will never get that. You don't know the power of prayer, so you'll never get that. You'll never understand that. But I'm just saying, I understand it, and if we don't pray, it just don't go as well. Things just don't get done as well. Some things do not come but by fasting and prayer. And some of you, if you have a prayer meeting, it's like, I pray already. You know, I don't need to pray. I'm telling you, they continue to set fasting in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking bread, and prayer. We need to keep those consistent in groups. They went from house to house, and that's our attempt to do that. But if you want to keep a clean filter, this is examination time. Let's say, what is it that I'm doing? Why am I doing what I do? Your daily routine. Why do you do that, and what needs to change so you can have relation with Jesus Christ? It's not just busy, but now I'm having relation with Jesus Christ. I'm not just washing and doing and being like the Pharisees. Just, I know the Word of God and I'm busy. See, that's a filter that's going to be distorted because you're not thinking right. Because you're out of relation with Jesus. You're out of relation with the people that really matter. You know, when we're in right relationship, we don't look at people that look dirty or different and think bad of them. We think, what does God want for their lives? What can I do to help them? See, that's a godly, clean thinking. That's defining reality. That's what God would do. That's why wherever He went, He always found somebody that had needs and defects and things and brought them out and touched them and made them whole. Because He always saw the good in them and He brought it out. He's always looking for the good in people. While everybody else was murmuring about them, saying, "Well, it's going home to be with a sinner. Oh, look, he touched a prostitute. He forgave her of her sins. Right? Oh, look, he's just loving people and bringing the good out in them." That's what we need to do. That's what we need to do. We need to be Christ-like. So number one, keep your heart pure. David said like this, and maybe this is where your heart is. We was in class, I forget where we were at. Anyway, the statistic came out, said 25% of pastors is hooked on pornography. 25%! And get up and preach on Sunday. I'm not. And that's why it shocked me to say, because here's kind of my deal, you know what? I can't live in sin and do this. Now, I'm not perfect. I will sin. But I'm just saying, I can't live in that and do this. I can't go out and watch pornography all week and come do this. I just, if I'm living for God or I'm not. When Jan and I were out just doing our own thing, I didn't pray every day. I just didn't. I thought, I'm not in obedience, so I didn't. She prayed every day. She still prayed every day. She said, you know, I was a good wife to you and a good mother, and she prayed every day. So you probably have one of those makeups, whether if you're really in, then you pray and seek God and ask Him for blessing, and if you're not, you probably don't. And then if you're not living God's will, you may be like her. You go ahead and pray and offer up that. But that just warned me to say. But here's what I know. Whether you're hooked on pornography or something else, you're a workaholic, whatever your sin may be, God knows. If we never know, God knows, and it will distort your reality of what really is. Because you and I cannot walk in darkness and light at the same time, the Bible says. And so we'll be walking in one. You can't commit to darkness and walk in light. I can't do it. So here's the key. Keep your heart pure. Everybody say that. Keep your heart pure. You didn't say it very convincingly, but you said it. Keep your heart pure. If you've got bitterness in your heart for someone, let them go. That's sin. God can't forgive you. Yes, I can't let them go. No, you won't let them go. God would never put a command in His Bible that you couldn't perform through His help and His power. Let them go in the name of Jesus. If you're a workaholic, and you're abandoning your family and making excuses why you got to have more stuff, stop in Jesus' name. It's God, family, and church. If your time with Jesus is being robbed because you're in college or you're in school and you got all this work to do and you don't have time to have a relation with Jesus, then you need to get out of school. Or you need to quit lying and say, I can go to school and I can serve Jesus at the same time. How many knows we're all busy? But here's what we got to ask ourselves. Do we want to think like Jesus thinks? And do we want to find the purpose and will of God? And do we want to walk in the counsel of God and in the anointing of God? If we do, we have to keep your hearts pure before the Lord. And let's reshuffle our schedule so we can have time to have relationship with Jesus and relationship with each other. So we can have a pure filter and build a pure filter. Now, stay in the Word. You know, they were in the Word. The Word's not bad. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word, so it's going to build your faith. But just remember, throw away the excuses and the things that is hindering you from spending time with God. And just don't allow them to come in anymore. Let's build a filter system inside of us that says, I want it to purify me, and so everything that comes in, I'll absorb what I need to absorb, and everything that doesn't need to be in, my filter system will catch it, and I can check it, and it'll hold it, and it'll block it. How many knows? He says, how can you help somebody else get the splinter out of their own eye when we've got a beam in our own eye? We can't. So let's get this right, and we'll do that through having a proper filter system that says, I need to know what I need to take in and what's good and what's not, so I can filter that out, and whatever's coming out is good stuff, so I'm not defiled. Because whatever comes out, that's what defiles us. And if we allow bad stuff to come in, you can just know bad stuff's coming out. If you're looking at people and finding fault, stop. You're in the Pharisee category here. Finding fault with people. Yeah, but they are at fault. So are you. And that's when Jesus looked at you and said, not guilty by my grace and my blood. So let them off the hook. Let them off the hook. Do it for you. Do it for Jesus. Do it for the people you love. Do it so you can be your best for Jesus Christ. Don't do it for the people that you're... You know, that God will deal with them. And besides that, when we judge and we don't let people off the hook, you know what happens? We get judged. Then we become the victim of being judged by God and unforgiveness. So let's revamp this year. What's getting in? Let's take a little time to examine what's getting inside of us, and how's my filter system? Is it based off tradition? Is it based off the Word of God? Question everything. Just say, what's it based off of? Is it tradition? From where I grew up? Or is it God's Word? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the Word of the living God. And today we pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you'll make our hearts pure. The very first thing that a good filter needs is to work properly, is to be clean. If it's all clogged up with stuff, it cannot work properly. And so today, clean us. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. Forgive us of being petty and blaming others and griping and complaining and overindulging our children and wonder why they're not grateful. Change things for us this year. Help us to see properly so we can pass it on to the next generation. We've heaped stuff upon ourselves and we've got busy, and we're busy even doing good things sometimes. But help us this year to say, you know what, God, I can only do so many things and still have proper time with you and in fellowship and communion and prayer and in the Word. So help me to reprioritize my life this year, so that whatever comes in is good, and it's the purpose of God, and it's what I need, so I can be what I have been called to be, and I can do what I've been called to do. Help us this year. God, we hunger and thirst for righteousness. Fill us, oh God. Help us. Forgive us of our busy schedules. Forgive us of the lies that we're so busy we can't fellowship. You'd never ask us to continue steadfastly in that if we couldn't accomplish it and do it. So forgive us for believing lies and not following the truth. Help us lay all that down this year. Create in us a new filter that will take in what needs to be taken in and block what needs to be blocked. And the fruit of that will be the fruits of righteousness: love, peace, joy, kindness, gentleness, self-control. And we desire that the fruit of the Spirit will flow through us this year as we take in good stuff. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you're here today, before we take communion, you need prayer. If you'd lift your hand, we want to pray over you. Anyone else? Okay. All right. Anyone else? Father, for all those that lifted their hand today, we come in agreement. This body and I, we come in agreement right now for them and their needs. Today, Lord, we lift them up to you. And you saw their act of faith by lifting their hand. And we ask you to respond, Holy Spirit. Respond by meeting their needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. God, if there's something...